Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Thank you, Ones and Zeros Charlie, for giving us that intro. Again, this is Green Country Gardener here on the radio on this Saturday morning for you. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, feel free to give us a call at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Those numbers again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll love to field your gardening questions this morning. And, of course, as mentioned earlier, Larry Glass is with us. Larry, how are you doing on this Saturday?
Pretty good. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's, you know, a little bit unseasonable, I think, if you will, for the kind of a August day. Kind of cloudy, kind of cool, if you will. But for the most part, not bad. I can't complain with the weather.
This has probably been the most unseasonable season we've had.
Yes, definitely. How many times can we say season in seasonable sentence that's seasoned?
Yeah, well, it's unseasonable in that the grass is green.
That's also true. I'm talking to Levi Wilson the other day here at our station, and he was saying he's getting tired of mowing his grass over and over and over again.
Well, you got to get that mower blade sharp, too.
That's true.
That's one thing you got to do right now if you haven't done it in a while. I know I've got to do mine because look real close at your grass and see if it's got a good, clean cut. Mm-hmm. If you have a rotary mower, if you have a real mower, well. Or even an artificial mower.
Definitely that artificial mower.
You know what I'm talking about, a real mower.
Right.
Yeah, they have this reel that reels around, and it does a very good job of cutting, but they're dreadfully expensive and somewhat high maintenance, but they do a good job.
Yeah.
And they need to be sharpened rather frequently, so.
How frequently? Like every other week?
When they get dull.
When they get dull. That's fair. That's a good answer.
But anyway, with your rotary mower, yeah, because that thing just whips around really, really fast, mm-hmm. Cuts just by like a ninja. We have a caller?
I think we do. I saw a couple flashing lights too.
All right, let's put them on.
Caller is on hold, so we're going to go ahead and take their call this morning. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you? Hello?
Doesn't appear to be anybody there.
Yeah, maybe we had a little bit of a lost signal there for a minute. We'll try that again later. Again, if you want to call us, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 is the number to call. And we're talking about mowing and keeping your blades sharp.
Sure.
What else do people know about that?
I see a lot of lawns that could use a sharper blade, but nonetheless. the grass is really growing well this year. It's time, speaking of lawns, most people have Bermuda grass in this town. And it's time to kind of stop the heavy nitrogen applications because it's going to get cool pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And it needs to harden off for the winter. So it is time to cut back on the nitrogen and use something like a 10-20-10 or something like that. It's just a fairly low nitrogen fertilizer at this point in time. You can still use your trace elements in there, your iron and whatnot, to maintain your color. Mm-hmm. But I would throttle back a bit on the nitrogen at this point. And keep in mind when it's going to rain before you fertilize and make sure the moisture level is good as it is now before you fertilize. And if there is no rain in the forecast, try to water it in if you can. Mm-hmm. So time for that last application. Fescue grass is quite the contrary. It's going to be growing rather aggressively coming up. So you'll want to encourage its growth so it can mend itself after a long, hot summer.
Okay. And how long
not
would you...
Not necessarily dry, but... long.
Right. That's definitely true.
I would use something like a 16-8-8 or even a 36-00 if your color is good, mm-hmm. Just to get the nitrogen levels up so it can really grow and prosper into the winter.
Totally.
Important to keep it mowed. Mown. Is it mown or mowed?
Mowed.
Mowed. Okay. Mowed. Keep it mowed rather tall at this point in time also because it can still get hot and dry.
I guess you could probably say clipped too if you really wanted to. Keep your yard clipped. Clipped your yard clippings. Anyway.
Well, okay. Let's not get into phonetics.
Right.
it is time also, this time not only maintaining your yard, it's time to plant those turnips.
Okay.
So if you want a fall crop, time for that. Tomatoes, probably a little bit past prime, but tomatoes, as the weather cools, as the nighttime temperatures, especially as the nighttime temperatures cool off, as the season progresses, you'll see an increase in good appearance on the tomato plant. In other words, it'll start putting on some new leaves, and it'll bloom. The temperatures are cool enough for the blooms that produce to actually make tomatoes just in time for it to freeze.
Yeah, just in time.
Every time, yeah. But anyway, so the tomatoes will make a little bit of a comeback. So cold crops can be planted right now. Cold crops, well, you mentioned coleslaw, things like cabbage and kale and broccoli, cauliflower, and things like that can be planted at this point in time. And we do have some of the plants you can put in your garden at the nursery right now.
Okay.
So it's time for that. Make sure to prepare the soil real well. They don't like our clay. We've had a lot of rain, and we were at somebody's house this week planting some grass, and the soil was compacted to the point where you could land a 747 on it.
Yeah.
I kid you not. It was just hard as a rock. I mean, you couldn't tell it in an iron fry pan. It was so hard. But anyway, we got in there with a tiller and some compost and planted some zoysia grass in there for it to do real well. So make sure the soil is ready before you plant a seed. If the seed bounces off the ground, probably you need to prepare it a little bit.
Maybe a little bit,
facetious, yeah, but nonetheless.
Right.
radishes could also be planted at this point, too. They're good in salads. I just like to pick them and eat them. They're real good right out of the garden. And other things, too. So
we have radish, cold crops, turnips, tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Any other plants that people should be?
You can still get away with some bush beans at this point. They'll go ahead and put on a mess before it gets cold. Too late for corn, though. But nonetheless.
Plenty of good foods there still that you could grow. Well, to the end of August here as we get into September.
Oh, yeah. You can still get some good stuff. But anyway, root crop primarily, onions and whatnot. If you can get a hold of some onions, they can be planted now, too. So it's a bit of a good time for the fall garden, and winter's coming up. So time to divide those iris if you haven't already. And I need to do mine. They need to be cut back and divided. They're kind of overgrown. Mm-hmm. And I've had some roses. My home run finally succumbed to the rosette's disease, so it's going to be replaced with a bunch of iris in that area. So we'll have some color.
Yeah.
But anyway, time to do that. Peonies. If you need to cut them back, that can be done now. They basically replenish the bulb, or the rhizome, rather, for the winter. So they can be cut back if you need to. They're kind of ugly right now. So also be aware of monarch butterfly larvae, too. Try to educate yourself on what they look like, because they're becoming a bit more prominent at this point. And if you have some asclepias planted, which is the butterfly weed, they tend to gather towards that in the larval stage. And they're a rather long insect, about half the length of your small finger.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of my employees has half the length of the small finger, very small hands, but actually, I put him to work fixing the bobcat.
Oh, really?
Get in those tight places. But anyway, it's a rather, about an inch and a half long caterpillar.
Right.
That has concentric rings around it of black and yellow and green and so on. And they're very distinct. They're kind of big around as well. So,
mm-hmm.
And try not to kill those.
So. Consider it a science project or something.
Yes, uh-huh. In the past, we've grown monarchs at the nursery and taken pictures of them, so we've got images of what they look like. So, or you can Google monarch butterfly larvae and see what they look like. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. I could just imagine monarch butterflies flying out of the nursery right now.
Yeah. One of my employees grew some in his backyard last year. His wife made a hobby of growing monarch butterflies, and she did a time lapse of the monarch coming out of the chrysalis. It was fascinating to watch how they fold up and how they unfold and dry themselves and fly off. It's just amazing that metamorphosis, that transformation from one bug to another. It's really quite interesting to watch that.
That's pretty interesting.
So anyway, be aware the monarchs are coming out too. Boars are becoming more active too. Two cases of elm trees actually having boars in them. I went and visited this week. People had questions why their elm tree is doing poorly. And it was just bleeding the sap. And I put my finger on and tasted it and said, hey, this stuff's pretty sweet.
Yes.
He said, well, I sprayed it yesterday. I go, no. But he sprayed it with spinosad, which is harmless to humans. But so he did that. And yeah, it's very sweet. Yeah, you can tap this and make syrup or something. It's pretty sweet stuff.
Heck yeah.
And as a result of that, he had a lot of ants on it too.
Right.
But this tree was basically Swiss cheesed with borers. And why they attacked this particular tree, I don't know. But however, the location of the borers was coincident with the south side of the tree, south or the west side tree. So that was the first clue. And I saw the little hole and got out my pocket knife and dug around it. And then all this frass came out of it. Frass is basically what passes through the bore as it bores through the tree. And it I said, you got him. So he got some imidacloprid to put on that to control that.
Right.
But the elm tree was under a lot of stress, and I've seen a little bit of this here around town, a little bit of stress from boar infestations on elm trees, which is rare, actually. And the leaves turned a darker color, and a lot of them fell off. However, the buds for next year were still intact, and the stems themselves were still wick. Wick meaning that they had sap in them still. It hadn't damaged the tree to the point where it's dying off in the outer periphery. It still had sap in it. So it'll be okay. And I said, well, we need to do something to control those. Boy, it'll go ahead and heal up. Even when it's dormant, it'll heal up from the borer damage and come out and do okay. They had another one just other side of the yard, just fine, no problems.
Right. And I'm curious, you said that borers in the area are kind of rare. Why is that?
They're rare on elm trees.
Elm
trees, yes.
Right.
They're common on members of the prunus family.
Okay.
That would be all your fruit trees or right. Malus family, crabapple trees. And so you want to be aware of that. Look for sap running out. I had some on my plum trees last week, and I just dug them out with my pocket knife.
Yes, the mighty pocket knife.
Yeah. Keep it sharp.
That's all it takes. You got to keep it sharp.
Keep that pocket knife sharp.
It's like those shovels.
So anyway, that's kind of what we're looking for in trees and shrubs right now, and fruit trees especially, too. Watch out for those. If you have some damage on your fruit trees, you might want to prune out some damaged branches on them. Mm-hmm. I did mine last week, pruned them all out. They had quite a bit of damage from the weight of the fruit and the storms associated with that weight of the storms.
Right. Well, that was this week.
The fruit, rather, yeah. And some broken branches. And had to.
The one this week or a couple weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I pruned them back. You can still do some structural as well as some healing pruning, if you will, on your fruit trees. You don't want to start the next year with damaged foliage or out-of-balance foliage or so on. So they can be pruned about any time, really. And they're kind of slowing down for the fall, so. If you have had some storm damage, which added quite a bit online, then they can, they'll be okay.
Okay. And we've been talking about pruning. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more here in a second. We've also talked about monarch butterflies and a couple other things, borers, as well as some crops that you could be growing at this moment. I think we'll take a quick break. It's 8:22. We'll be right back with Larry Glass, the Green Country Gardener.
Close.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, crepes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30. 6:30, Sunday, noon to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything, from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
This is Curtis Bailey, owner of the BNC Automotive Napa Auto Parts Store here in town, and we've been advertising on the radio for several years now, and we have seen results.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. Joining me is Larry Glass, not Larry Grass, as we mentioned it accidentally just a little while ago.
a phonetic mishap there. Okay.
Yes. And, of course, if you want to ask Larry any questions about gardening, we've been talking a lot about different things, crops that you can grow right now, butterflies, borers, pruning, which we're going to touch on here in just a minute. Just feel free to call us 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, we actually do have a caller, so we're going to go ahead and get to them really quick.
Okay, put them on.
Good morning. Barbara, you're on the line?
Yes. yes, I was wondering if I can trim my cedar bush.
Your cedar bush?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Is it a juniper type or a blue atlas cedar?
Yes. Pardon?
Yeah, if it's like the eastern red cedar, the Juniperus virginiana that lives around here, yeah, they can be pruned anytime.
Oh, great. It's just, it's overgrown a lot.
They can. Now, if you're going to do a real heavy pruning, I would probably do that in spring. It's just going to look ugly for quite some length of time if you were to do it. Heavy pruning at this point.
Oh, no, it won't be heavy.
Okay.
I'd like to, but I'll be.
Yeah. I live in a house here in town where there were junipers or cedar trees along the back of the house. And they were really nice screen plants, and the power company came in and just sheared it there all the way across the top. And a couple years later, they were back up there, so... So they did fortunately, though, it was in the wintertime when they did the pruning, and they were nice enough to go up into the tree and take my birdhouse gourds I had grown up there. I didn't want to climb. They're too close to the power lines. I didn't want to get them. So, but anyway. So
yeah, it doesn't seem to hurt them, but I was just wondering if I had to wait till February. But spring is okay, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can do all the heavy stuff in the spring, but nothing really corrective at this point in time.
Yeah, I'll just do that. All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you for calling.
Again, we'll mention those numbers really quick. If you have any gardening questions or any pruning questions or whatever questions you might think of in the gardening realm, feel free to give us a call, 918-336-1400, or you can call the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Right. I thought this spring it would be fun to plant some dipper gourds. And it is doing very well. And
didn't know?
Up until they kind of sat there and grew kind of slowly up until the middle or end of July.
When it started getting, less rain and hotter?
It started getting a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
At this point in time, I really don't have much of a backyard left.
Yeah.
They grow there all over the place. They've got these about 12-inch long dipper gourds. And they'll be kind of fun.
Yeah. Not much yard space for
you
those,
cut them
though.
In half and make a dipper for bird seed or flower or whatever. They're kind of fun.
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty fun.
So those you have to leave those on the vine, though.
Okay.
Up until they dry up or middle of December, January, when you can finally pick them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to do that, though. But if you take them off the vine, I have found the gourds, they tend to go bad if you disconnect them from the vine. And so, but anyway, that'll be kind of fun. I'll have some dipper gourds to show off at the nursery this year.
Yeah, that'll be really cool to see.
So anyway, back to pruning.
Yes, what else should be?
Roses, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks. Golly, I cut back the Julia Child rose, and she's come back, starting to bloom again. And it's coming back real nice and fresh looking. So you can prune back your roses at this point. Usually we have a good fall show up until around Thanksgiving on the roses, sometimes a little past that, depending on the weather. I'll leave the weather up to you guys.
Yes, that's fair. Sunny skies for the next few days. Let's go.
So they can be pruned fairly heavily at this point in time, the roses can. Mm-hmm. Knockout roses, if you still have some, they can be cut back. I do have some on the north side of the house, and it's in an area that's shielded from the hot sun, and they have not had any of the rosettes disease on them yet. Mm-hmm. They probably won't, because it's an area that stays relatively cool, and the mites that attack insects don't really like cool areas. So that's probably a reason why they have not gotten it yet. So anyway, so roses, prune them back. The breeders are working on disease-resistant varieties of roses to combat this rosette's disease. It's something that probably ultimately will just run its course over time.
Okay.
So, but in the meantime, we don't sell very many roses because people are pulling them out everywhere. So anyway, that's kind of the end of pruning. So the tomatoes will be making a fall comeback. We talked about grass. Great time to plant new shrubs right now at this point.
Okay.
We're doing landscape work rather heavily at this point in time. And so it's time to go ahead and plant shrubs for the fall, things like nandinas and boxwoods and whatnot. We have a great selection of boxwoods, and there's some new ones out there, the names of which are prefaced by the word baby.
Hmm.
Baby Jade, Baby Jim, boxwoods, and they stay short. They don't get 5-6 feet tall like your winter gems, and they're really good for being planted under the windows of the house or something like that, for kind of a low shrubby mass. So they make a really good plant for that low growing purpose. The baby jade is shorter than the baby gem, and they're very dense, compact growing little boxwood plant. So they're kind of fun, and we're using them quite a bit in the landscape. So
just here in Bartlesville, or
here and everywhere, they're becoming very popular. So
cool.
Because of their compact growth habit, and they maintain a good color appearance in the wintertime. A lot of your boxwoods will turn a bronze color in the sun in the winter, but these maintain a good color.
Okay.
And boxwoods, y'all, you know, so what? But they make good backdrop plants for plants that exhibit some color. Your crimson pygmy barberry, which is the orange, not orange, but maroon colored leaves, pop out real nicely with the boxwoods behind it. Mm-hmm. And I use dwarf nandina in front of the boxwood plants. And in the wintertime, it really makes a really nice contrast color. So they do have some function in the landscape other than making a hedge.
Right.
So we were doing a landscape for somebody, and she had a rather tall boxwood hedge on the west side of her house, and it was rather too tall. I said, I can cut it back somewhat, but not heavily. If you cut it back heavily, it'll spur on a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get, the leaves will get damaged by the cold in the winter. Especially if we have some really sub-zero or zero-degree weather. The leaves will turn a kind of a manila envelope color.
Right.
If not, maybe almost a vanilla.
Not a like vanilla manila. Appealing color in the world, but it's not like the worst either.
It's a light tan.
Yeah.
Is what they turn. And
kind of what I have right now.
Yeah, really. It's, no, I've been out in the sun all summer. But anyway, kind of a tan color, and they can be somewhat unattractive because they look somewhat dead. Mm-hmm. So you really want to refrain from heavy pruning of your boxwoods at this point in time. But the boxwood plant is a very versatile plant as far as that's concerned. I have some winter gems in front of my house. I have pruned into a point shape.
Mm-hmm.
and very narrow and upright. It's just a matter of culture. You can do anything you want with these things. You can make dinosaurs or big grasshoppers or something out of them.
Pyramid, maybe?
Pyramids.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what else could you make out of it?
Spheres.
Some geometrical art, yes.
Yeah, you can do that kind of stuff with them, too. So that's kind of fun. You can have do some stuff. Or just let them grow. They have kind of a loose, almost reminiscent of ewes to a point, natural shape to them, actually. If they were just cut back every year and permitted to grow out on their own, they do have kind of a nice natural shape. We also have one variety of boxwood that's in its youth is kind of ugly, which I guess that's, I'm testament to that. But anyway, I was an ugly kid. Ugh. But same. They're a weeping variety of boxwood. So they come up and they weep down. So we have just a few of them right now. Thought I'd try them out, but they are kind of ugly.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of sounds like a willow tree in
but
a
they
way.
Grow, yeah, kind of reminiscent of a miniature willow tree. Yeah. So what we call a weeping boxwood.
A weeping boxwood. So, I like that. That's
so
good.
So they're kind of interesting.
A weeping baby boxwood.
Yeah. These plants, when you develop new plants, you do clones or you crossbreed them, and then you have a whole line of, you know, like 10,000 variations of these plants. Then you pick out positive attributes from those. Mm-hmm. And the positive attribute of the baby gem and the baby jade is that the internode is short on those. That's what creates dwarfism in those particular plants, is the length of the node. And the node is the part of the stem that is between the leaves.
Right.
A short internode, the plant thinks it's 6 feet tall, but it's only 2.5, 3 feet tall.
Love the optimism.
So that's kind of how they get those little dwarf trees. And there are some others. There's one variety. I can't think of the name right now, but anyway. It's a little hard to get. The breeders are cloning more of these, so they're becoming a bit more of a. But it's a very extremely low mounting variety of the boxwood. It has the durability of the boxwood, the versatility as far as growing in sun or shade or the drought tolerance or the evergreen appearance of those. But it's very short and dwarf, and it maintains its color real well. Like a lot of shrubs just don't look good all the time. Mm-hmm. The dwarf yellow pine holly does that. It tries to do that, but it can get a little out of hand. But occasionally we have some problems with the dwarf yellow pine holly with winter kill in just spots and places of the plant. And that's caused primarily from inadequate water going into the winter. But the boxwoods are more hardy further north. So they can tolerate the cold weather together with people's negligence rather well.
Yes. It's a good combination, negligence and cold weather. Sounds like a movie almost, cold negligence.
Yeah, I'm saying is they're easier to grow. These plants are extremely easy to grow, and you can manipulate them in various forms. You can keep a winter gem boxwood, 2 feet tall just by maintaining it. So, anyway.
Sounds good. And Larry, I think we'll take a quick break. It's 8:36. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener program on our radio.
Roman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas.
We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Roman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Peters True Value and Dewey always have great items at great prices, like these bargains of the month. Sterilite 18-gallon totes in melon, blue, or hazelwood colors for just $5.99 each. Quart-size Pennzoil motor oil in different weight formulas is just $3.49 each. And GE 8-watt battery backup LED bulbs are $19.99. See these and more bargains of the month at Peters True Value and Dewey. Price is good now through September 2nd. When skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using color radar reports and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters and meteorologists on KOTV, the news on 6. Dedicated to keeping you and your family safe, keep a battery-operated radio close at hand. And when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune into K1, 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Tate Boys Tire, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Record Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener here on your radio. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. The number to call if you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass is 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Those numbers again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We've talked about boxwoods. We talked about monarchs. We've talked about pruning crops that you can grow at this time of the year, including some tomatoes and turnips. And onions as well, just to name a few. Larry Glass, what else should we be knowing about in the garden this week?
Well, actually, backtracking a little bit, the boxwood that I couldn't think of was the Emerald Knoll boxwood.
Emerald Knoll,
and I will keep people informed as to this availability of this plant. It is unavailable at this point because their production is going forth on it, and when it comes available, we'll talk about it. So, tree of the week, we'll talk about that. Osage orange.
The Osage orange.
Osage orange, it's Maclura pimifera. It's a very tough tree. And it has a characteristic orange wood to it. That's where it gets the name orange, I guess. And they're dioecious, male and female on separate plants. My neighbor behind me has a male Osage orange, thank goodness.
Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah, really. The female Osage orange has this monstrous brain looking like grapefruit size, heavy, weigh a ton fruit that falls down and will put a big dent in your car if you happen to park underneath it. So they're not overly popular.
Right.
But the male plants are kind of like ginkgo trees. The males are the ones you want. And more so the pistache trees also. They don't have the fruits and whatnot associated with them.
Okay.
So it's a native growing tree. It's native to the lowland areas, the swamps and whatnot. It's highly adaptable. It's extraordinarily drought tolerant. If you want to cut one of these down, have some spare chains available in your chainsaw, because it won't make it through the first cut.
You kind of need multiple chainsaws.
It's that tough.
Yeah.
And no diseases, no insect problems. So if you happen to have one of these, they're not an overly attractive tree, and you get some branches die back on the branches here and there, but it's just a good, tough tree, and native to the area, and becoming a little less numerous as the populations increase and they're removed from the native habitats. But Osage orange is a pretty tough native tree. So you've learned something today.
I did. And you said it's a native to just this area. You said swampland, so I'm assuming there's not a whole lot.
No, not swamp. Swampy area, wet areas.
Right, right.
It'll do well in those. It does well in the dry areas, too.
It's
a very, very adaptable plant, if you will. Native growing tree. And no pests. The leaves on it are rather large, or almost like a mulberry leaf.
Okay.
They're very shiny. And the good thing about them is they just don't shed in the summertime when things get really hot. They're just happy as a clam. So they grow in the worst of soils and rock that, you know, terrible soils, and just as well as they do in any other soil. So they're not commercially available. So you just happen to have one.
This is H's man.
In your backyard, yeah.
Sequence tart.
But the females, there's a female at Woodland Park that cantilevers over Osage. Cantilevers over Oakdale Drive as you're going in.
The Osage Oakdale.
When the fruit is falling, you have to kind of go around it just to make sure you don't get a shattered windshield.
Right. If you avoid that at all possible, yes, that sounds very nice. Larry, I think we do have a caller for you on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Yeah, those Osage Orange, they use that out west to make the posts for all the fences because it holds up. It doesn't deteriorate, sort of like cedar, does it?
Yeah.
It's fall apart.
It's a good, tough plant.
It's that strong.
Uh-huh. It's extremely strong wood, and it's kind of pretty, too, really.
Yeah, if it's cured right, it's a beautiful orange.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, thank you for calling. Just make sure you have a good sharp carbide blade on it and a spare when you go to milling out, too. So, anyway, that's a good plant. Shrub of the week, Rose of Sharon. Rose of Sharon is a member of the hibiscus family. It's not a rose. It's just called Rose of Sharon. It's a very tough plant. They're really putting on a really good show this year. I was at Al's. He had some sprinkler problems I fixed for him, and he had a beautiful Osage Orange, a beautiful Rose of Sharon in the backyard. And it's covered in these really nice hibiscus-like pink flowers on it. The pink ones really pop out in the landscape. That's kind of why I like to use that particular color, because it does show up real well against the green background of these plants. And all over town, they're really putting on a really nice show, and a very extended show, actually, this year because of the mild weather. We've had a very extended show of the Rose of Sharon this year. And it's a blossom time parallels that of crepe myrtles. So you can have different bloom configurations in the landscape using both of them. It has a tendency to grow somewhat narrow and upright, up to 8 feet tall, as much as 10 feet tall in some cases, depending on the environment in which it's planted.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really need a lot of care. There's very few pests. You don't get anything eating on the leaves. As far as I know, the deer don't like it. Being a member of the hibiscus family, it is extraordinarily versatile as far as where its planted is concerned. It does not like poorly drained soil, and it doesn't like very heavy soil. There are some places in town where it's been grown in a hedgerow. You can tell where the good soil is. They're a lot taller than the others. So you want to make sure your soil, if you do plant them in a hedge, is fairly uniform all the way across. Otherwise, you will get some different heights of this particular plant, densities of it also.
Right.
It can be formed into a tree shape. In other words, allowed to grow and make it somewhat arborescent. So everything is up here, about an 8-foot tall tree. Very nice. And its blossom show, just for the most part, can't be beat. It does, however, if we have a really dry period following a really wet period, does tend to lose some leaves, which is not harmful to it. And the flowers, they only last one day, but it produces lots of them, and they kind of drop off. And they can be kind of littersome, mm-hmm. if you will, in that case. So be prepared to kind of clean up after them a little bit.
It's almost like a pet, if you will.
It's trashy. Yeah. But we've carried in the past, I think we still have some that are five of them together. They're cloned together, five of these, and you different color blooms on the same plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the double pinks. They really show up in the landscape real well. There is a variety called Diana, which doesn't have any seeds. And there are some other parallels to that are seedless. But I like the Diana because it is a pure white. It's real attractive.
Right.
One of the drawbacks of the Rose of Sharon is that you get, not only do you get that plant, but you get its subsequent progeny all over the yard.
Right. And again, you have to clean up after it.
You got to dig those up.
Yeah.
But they do.
There's a consequence to beauty sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you keep your bed well mulched, this shouldn't be much of a problem. But they do have a tendency to have a lot of seeds coming up. So they can be a bit seedy, if you will.
Definitely.
Ultimately, you get a thicket of Rose of Sharon, mm-hmm. which in some cases might not be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
The offspring of the particular plant typically reverts to the native appearance, which is kind of a lavenderish, light lavender colored flower.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll revert back to that when they have seedlings coming up. So. Anyway, this plant is fairly short-lived. You'll get 15 years out of it, and it gets a bad case of stem anthracnose as it gets older. So it'll just sort of die off, and then you dig up one of the babies and plant it in place or something.
Yes.
Or they'll have new varieties. You just get a new one on there. But it really, they're putting on a really good show this year. And for the time they're around, about 10 or 15 years, they put on a really nice show. I have transplanted Rose of Sharon in the heat of July before. And they kind of sit around and they do their wilt thing. But give them a week, it was back up and blooming and looking good again. It recovered, in other words, from the being transplanted.
Right.
So they're fairly easy to transplant and all that other stuff too. So they're very versatile plants. They're very hardy, very easy to grow, mm-hmm. and really quite showy when they bloom.
Yes, sir. And then we just talked about the tree of the week, and we also talked about the shrub of the week. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Glass, the Green Country Gardener, here on your radio.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, grapes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30. Sunday, noon to 5.
Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is reliable. Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is professional, but most importantly, Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville is affordable. So when you have a pest problem, call Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville, 918-336-BUGS. That number, 918-336-2847. Mention this ad and get $10 off your next service. Pratt Pest Control of Bartlesville, the best pest protection for your home or business.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Show with Larry Glass, me, the Double G, your host for the show for today. While Tom is off doing whatever he needs to do today, it's 8:51. We got a couple more minutes here in the program. Larry, what's going on at the nursery these days, Green Thumb Nursery?
What's going on at the nursery? We've got new mums coming in shortly for the fall. Fall will get here. It was a little chilly last night. What is it now?
64?
Yeah.
Yep.
From what we've been through, that's kind of cold.
I think the high today is only going to be like 80.
Yay.
And then looking at the forecast here that I got pulled up, I think for the most part, we're supposed to stay in the 60s, except for maybe Monday, for the most part. Yeah, it's...
Oh, 91 on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a high of 91, lows of like the high 60s or low 70s, which isn't bad still.
Yeah, that's good weather.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually predicting a wetter than normal winter.
Mm-hmm.
So brace for impact. Get off that snow shovel. The handle of my snow shovel rotted.
Oh no! It's time to invest.
Every winter I'd put it by the back gate in preparation of the snow, and it never did come.
Right.
So I need to get another one. Hey, that was 30 years old anyway.
Right.
Maybe
get a sturdier handle.
Got used twice, you know. Whatever. So anyway, they are predicting a little bit of a wet weather. But anyway, back in the nursery, we've got some fall blooming. Fall vegetables have arrived. We have just a few of them, not very many. And all kinds of fertilizers. And for the growers out there, we have support media for them too. So we have all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Fertilizers. Time to think about fertilizing your shrubs for the fall and your trees in the winter. We have stuff for that too.
Okay. And of course, you can do landscaping over there with you guys as well.
Yeah, landscape plans. Right. We're in the progress of doing some projects, landscape projects at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to we strive to maintain a very high standard as far as finish is concerned on the landscape. Mm-hmm. I'm very picky about things being level and square and all that. They have to be, you know, just right, because
it's good to have the symmetry and the perfect angles.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, we're doing one project where we're doing some squares around the trees out of concrete and paving blocks. It's a real nice fit and finish on that. And so, guys, these have to be perfectly in line and perfectly square and perfectly set beside each other for this to look right. If you're off a little bit, it messes it up.
Yep.
So we're working on that. We have a caller?
We do have a caller on line three. We're going to go ahead and take their call. Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Yes. When do we start doing the pre-emergent spring weeds?
For spring weeds?
Bad crap last year.
Yeah. Towards the middle and the end of September. Kind of time for that.
What do you use?
It is I can't think of the name of it right now. I think it's a prodiamine is what we use for that.
Oh, okay.
And we'll discuss that here starting next week. We'll talk about pre-emergence in the garden.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a good time because as it cools down, the dandelions will be growing pretty soon. The henbit will be sprouting pretty soon, but it really hadn't gotten cool enough yet for that to happen. However, with this forecast coming up, we're going to have to talk about it next week because it is time to do that about the middle of September.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, pre-emergent for that wascally henbit, you know, the one with the purple leaves or purple flowers on it. If they could breed that to have big flowers on it, people would be begging for it.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, it is kind of attractive, actually, in some cases. Mm-hmm. Kind of a Oklahoma heather, if you will.
And Oklahoma, I like that.
So anyway, landscape plan, give me a call. I'll come out and measure your property, take some pictures, and do a 3D rendering of your place. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see what it's going to look like, and we can time-lapse it to make it look what it's going to look like in 5 years and so on and so on. Typically, when we do a landscape installation, we like to make it prune-free. In other words, you don't have to worry about pruning it for about 3 years.
Okay.
So kind of a three-year maturation date. And some plants are planted as, say, a 5-gallon, or some of them are a 1-gallon or a 3-gallon, depending on that. So they all come together at the same time as they grow through the appearances. You don't have a big thing and all these little bitty ones. So they all sort of grow together.
Right.
So the timing is very important. Also, you have to consider the climate. North, south, east, or west of the house, deer. Believe it or not, that is a big factor in this town, deer. Mm. As they go clippity-clop down the street, munching on people's new plants, you have to put in some things. And some people do have, in the darndest places, they have deer problems. You never would guess.
The domestication of deer.
So we have to kind of plan for that, too, so that the landscape doesn't get eaten up.
Right.
And any other pests, like boars and whatnot, so... Mm-hmm. All these facts, and plus people's time. How much time do you have to put into this landscape? How much pruning do you want to do? What is your level of proficiency as far as maintaining your plants is concerned?
Right.
That's one thing you got to factor in also.
All right, Larry, we'll take a quick break, and we'll kind of let people know where you're at here in just a moment.
Okie doke.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elites such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
And we're back with Larry Glass here on your radio, the Green Country Gardener. Wrapping up the show here, Larry, where can people find you at the Green Thumb Nursery?
We're on the south side of No Water Road. 4605 is the official address, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard. There's a car wash up front, and you pop in and get some ice cream, too, when you're there at the ice cream shop in front of us.
You sure can. Jared's, and I can't remember the name of the car wash, but it's right there on No Water.
Yeah, the Waddy's Wash, I think.
Right, yeah, that's right.
So come check us out. We've got all kinds of stuff, and before you plant your trees and shrubs, make sure you have a good sharp shovel. We'll see you next week.
What does your auto insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.